Thursday night, Erev Shabbos Chazon. And we know that the Svarim HaKadoshim teach us that the Shabbos has within it all the Hashpahs and Kriches of the following week. And that's why the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, there's elements of Rosh Chodesh in the Shabbos, you bet Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos before Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos for Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol. Pesach is in the Shabbos to a certain extent. The Shabbos before a wedding, they have an Ufruf, because the Chas is in the Shabbos already. The Semech Tachosn already at the Ufruf. And the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av also has elements of Tisha B'Av and Shabbos already. The Koyach and Shef of Tisha B'Av is in the Shabbos. There are various Minhogim, in some Kehilas Friday night by the Chodoidi. We do the Chodoidi with the Nigin of Eritzion. Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos morning, we do the Pasuk Echa Esa Levadi with the Nigin of the Echa Trop. Similarly, the Haftorah Chazon Yeshayahu with the Echa Trop. So we feel already elements of Tisha B'Av in Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. This is unique to Tisha B'Av when it comes to the other Tanesim. We don't do this with some Gedalia, by Sarba Teva, especially with Tamuz. Tisha B'Av is on a different level. And we know on one hand that it's Pashat like that because in the Halachas of Tisha B'Av, they're much more severe than the other Tanesim. But in the source or marker of it, it's also on a different level. The Rambam writes a Hakdama to Yad HaChazaka, and included in the Hakdama, he has a list of Tariq Mitzvahs and how they fit into the Yad HaChazaka. And there the Rambam writes that in addition to the Tariq Mitzvahs, there are other mitzvahs, Shenischadshu Acher Matan Torah. There are other mitzvahs that were created after Matan Torah, and the Nevi'im and Chachamim instituted them, and they spread throughout Klal Yisrael, like Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah, and Tainus Tisha B'Av. He lists the Tainus Tisha B'Av together on the same par and the same level as Chanukah and Purim. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Yuchef tells us, Al Shisha Chadoshim Hashluchim Yoitzim. There are 6 months in the year that Sanhedrin sends out messengers to make sure everyone knows when they made Rosh Chodesh in order to keep the Yom Tovim of that month. Al Nisan, they would go out in Nisan because of Pesach. Al Av, if they had Tainus, they would go out in Av because of the Tainus. Rashi says in Av, because of the Tainus, they'll go for 8 days. They have 8 days they can go without going on Shabbos. Up until Tisha B'Av, they go out to let the Tzibur know when to observe Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is on a different level. The mission includes Kislev for Chanukah, Adar for Purim. So a different level. So we have to understand the idea that the Chachamim added this day of Tisha B'Av to be observed, and how the avoid of Tisha B'Av is on a level similar to Purim, Chanukah. And one could ask on all of them that the Torah HaKadosha did not incorporate such Yom Tovim. These are from the Chacham and the Nevi'im that came later on. Peretz Hashem Tamima, the Ibn Hashem gave us a Torah that's perfect. So if the Ibn Hashem gave us a Torah that's perfect, why did the Chachamim see fit to create these Yom Tovim and the Tanis of Tisha B'Av? And the answer that I'd like to share with you is based on the teachings of Rosh Yeshiva. And he asked this question, why would the Chachamim create these Yom Tovim if the Torah HaKadosha didn't see it necessary, see fit to have these Yom Tovim? So why do we have Yom Tovim? And he explained that whenever the Chachamim create something new for Klal Yisrael, it's a sign of a deficiency in Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael would be on the level we're supposed to be, there'd be no need to make any additions to the Torah Kedusha. Anything that's added to the Torah Kedusha is only because there's a deficiency in Klal Yisrael. And this is true across the board. In recent times, fairly recent times, we have a new novel innovation, the institution of the Beis Yaakov for girls. For thousands of years, there's no Beis Yaakov for girls. All of a sudden, we create Beis Yaakov schools to teach girls. It's a wonderful thing. We can't imagine a world without Beis Yaakovs to educate our girls. Yet, it's a fairly recent phenomenon. It's such a good idea. Why didn't they do it before? Why isn't this an old thing? Why is this a new thing? And the answer is because if everything would have been good and the way it should be, there'd be no need for Beis Yaakovs. The institution of Beis Yaakovs was a response to a need that we were losing our girls. They were going off the derech in droves. We had to educate them. They had to create a system where they'd be educated. Until then, it wasn't a problem. They were educated at home. They learned from their mothers and grandmothers and families, and there was no need for a Beis Yaakov. But when that system failed, when there were other things drawing our girls away from Torah Kedusha and from Yahadus, so then they have to respond. The institution of Beis Yaakovs, it's an amazing thing, Beis Yaakovs. We depend on this. We survive with, we can't survive without Beis Yaakovs. But it is a response to something that was lacking in Klal Yisrael. It's a response to a deficiency. In fact, if you go back to the Gemara, the institution of cheder for our boys is also an invention that came because of a deficiency. Torah was to be passed down from parent to child. That's how you transmit the Maserah of Torah HaKadosha. However, the system failed. There were boys who weren't learning. Some didn't have fathers to teach them. Others were being neglected. And they realized, we're going to lose. We're going to lose our children. So Shlomo Gamla came and instituted the idea of public education, a public support education for our children. It's a Gewaldic Einfall. Eventually the rest of the world picked it up. But from the time of the Gemara, Redemar talks about this. It was a response to a deficiency. Again, we can't imagine a world without day schools and chadarim for our kids, for our boys. But that wasn't the way it was originally set up. It was a response to a chisaron. So too, when the Chachamim create a Yontif of Purim and later a Yontif of Chanukah, it's because Klal Yisrael were lacking. There was a deficiency to the point that the survival of Klal Yisrael required these Yom Tovim. And the same is true of Tisha B'Av. If Klal Yisrael would be on the Madrega, they should be, we wouldn't have a Tisha B'Av. But because there's a deficiency in Klal Yisrael, so Chachamim saw fit, we have to create a Tisha B'Av. And the survival of Klal Yisrael depends on Tisha B'Av. Otherwise, they wouldn't have created Tisha B'Av. There are many things that happened in our history that didn't warrant creating of a special day like that. If the Chachamim were Kaveh Tisha B'Av, like they're Kaveh Chanukah, Kaveh Purim, that means there was something seriously wrong and Klal Yisrael would be lost if we would not have this day, Tisha B'Av. So on each of these days, it's important to go through. So why is it that the Chachamim saw fit to create a Purim? And what would have happened if there wasn't a Purim? Why would we have been lost? And the same is true of Chanukah. We're going to focus on Tisha B'Av. What is it that the Chachamim saw fit that we need a Tisha B'Av? Because without a Tisha B'Av, Klal Yisrael would be lost. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a tremendous change in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that while the Beis HaMikdash stood, going back to Bais Rishon, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Gilui Panim. the Ribono Shel'Olam's presence was evident. And after the Churban, the Shechina was away, and it's Hester upon him. And the Gemara tells us that even in Bayis She'ni, there was an element of Shechina missing, and yet it probably wasn't the same as the period of Golas Bavel. And after the Churban Bayis She'ni, that's also gone. So Klai Yisrael is faced with relating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Hester upon him, when the Baruch Hashem is not clearly evident. So she would say that until the Churban Bayis Rishon, there was no such thing as an atheist. It didn't exist. Atheism did not exist until after the Churban Bayis Rishon, because there is no way to deny the existence of God when you went to Yerushalayim, the Bayis Rishon stood, and you were in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Shechina is there, it was so evident, no one questioned that. You couldn't question it. It was a metzius. It was a reality. It was reality. Anyone could come and experience that. So no one denied it. There's no denying that. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and the Shechina is nostalgic, the Shechina is removed, now there's room for a thing called atheism to start. It didn't exist before the Churban Bayis Rishon. It couldn't exist. It was real. You go and you experience the presence of the Shechina, so it couldn't exist. So now Klai Yisrael is in Golos, and they don't have that experience of the Shechina's presence the way they did when the Beis Hamikdash stood. And the relationship between Klai Yisrael and the Baruch Hashem changes. So when you don't have that feeling of Shechina present when you are in Golos and you don't have that closeness, so it's very possible to change the way you approach your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's almost perhaps a given that it's going to change because of the Hester upon him. And we can be lulled into a complacency and a whole different approach to serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Avodas Hashem that we are required to work on is to be close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We want to be close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's difficult when we're in Golos. It's difficult when there's Hester upon him. And it's a very big Avodah. It's a very big Avodah. It's possible that that changes. And you don't look at your Avodah as striving to be close to the Shechina, striving close to Hashem. What does your avodah become? It becomes doing my mitzvahs, learning, davening, doing what I have to do, and then I can get on with life. I have a life. I have a life to live, and part of my life I'm going to take care of my mitzvahs and my learning and do my quota, and then I'm done. And now let's live. And this mindset is very similar to the mindset of non-Jews who have various religions, and it doesn't interfere with their pursuit of, I call it happiness, their pursuit of whatever endeavor they would like to devote their lives to. So they have to observe and do what you have to do and basically pay my debt. She would say, it's like paying taxes. You have to pay taxes. An Ehrlich person pays taxes. You pay taxes. I'm not going to pay more than I have to. And I'll use every loophole I'm entitled to. But I have to pay my taxes because my taxes pays for my municipal necessities, things that we need in the government, in the city, takes care of my trash, and the police, and the fire, and on the national scale, and the army, and the dancer. So I pay my taxes. I got to do it, and I appreciate I get something back for it, but I don't pay more than I have to. I don't want to pay more than I have to, and I'll do the minimum I need to do to be a good, upstanding citizen. So we have yeshivas, our Beis Yankivs, and we have day schools, and we have kolim, and we have arakashras. We have all the things we need to keep Torah mitzvahs. We have everything we need. And the question becomes, are we satisfied and comfortable that we have an environment where we can keep Torah mitzvahs and then get on with life? I'll come to davening. I have to daven. I need things from my Kodesh Baruch Hu, so I'm going to come to davening. I'm going to learn. I have a mitzvah to learn. Okay, I'll take care of it. I'll have my Seder, and I'm done. And when I'm done, now let me be. Now I'll do what I got to do. Let's live my life. And that attitude is an entirely different approach to Yahadus than my goal in life is to go to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to spend every free minute doing Torah and Mitzvahs, doing what I can to get close to Hashem. Of course, along the way, I have to take time out for Panosa, for Mishpacha, for other things. But those are basically distractions till I get back to what I'm here for. What's the purpose of my life? This is what I'm living for. I'm living to be able to learn. I'm living to be able to do mitzvahs. And that's my goal. Yes, I take out time. I have to go to work. I have to do homework with my kids. I have to do things with Shabbat. It's fine. But that's not what we live for. It's two total different approaches. One is my whole essence is to be close to Hashem and to avoid this Hashem, and I'll take time out for other things I have to do. The other is, I do what I have to do, and I'm done. Thank you. I did my share. I'm a good person. And you can't flaw them, people like that, because the Maisa, they're keeping kosher and sending the kids to yeshivas, and they're davening. They're doing all the things you're supposed to do. But the mindset is the question. What is the mindset? And with the Churban and with the Golas HaShechina, it's very easy to end up shifting your avoda away from devoting your life to serving Hashem to, I'll do what I have to do and get on with life. And the Chachamim, who instituted Tisha B'Av, understood that if you're not going to have a day to remind you of what you're really supposed to be doing in your life and your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Klai Yisrael is going to be lost. Klai Yisrael is going to be lost. Once you start down this path of I do what I got to do, not anything more, just the bare minimum, eventually you get further and further away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Klai Yisrael will not survive. Klai Yisrael will not survive. The survival of Klai Yisrael requires that we remember, jolted back to reality, so to speak, we remember what is the purpose of our lives. What was the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash of the Rebbe Hashem's house. The Beis HaMikdash is the place where the Shechina was present and evident. And you strive to get close to Hashem. And that is your motivation. And that is your goals. That is where you see your purpose. And as easy as it is in our day and age to be an Erech Hayid, we don't have any Sionis that our Elder Zaydus had. We don't have the same kind of Nisyonis in Shmir Shabbos and with Kasherus. We have Nisyonis too, but it's not the same. And Chinuch is available, and anyone wants to go to a Beis Merish at night, there's Kerelim and there's community Kerelim and there's places to go. There's so much available to advance and to grow. We shouldn't get so comfortable that we think this is the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way it's supposed to be. The existence that we have is not the way it's supposed to be. Without a Beis HaMikdash, without the Gilui Shechina, this is not ideal. This is not the perfect scenario. And we get comfortable and we get complacent. And Tisha B'Av is to remind us that not all is well. This is not the way it's supposed to be. You know, there's a question people ask. Why are we saying Nachem, Tfilas Nachem on Tisha B'Av, the city that's Avela, Chareva, Bezuya, Shomema, the city that's mourning and destroyed and disgraced and desolate, Avela Bilibaneha, Chareva Imanaseh, Bezuya Mechoida, Shomema Inyashev. Yerushalayim is amazing. Yerushalayim is beautiful. Construction, it's building, it's growing, it's spreading. Yeah, there are issues. You know, of course, there are issues, problems. Public pressure, world pressure, dealings with our biases, like that, fine. It's not perfect. But it's not as bad as the tefillah seems to make it. The tefillah sounds like, this is a tefillah you'd say the year after the Churban. Today, why are we saying this tefillah? These people ask this question. Why is this tefillah appropriate in our day and age? The question comes from a misunderstanding of what's the goal? What is our purpose? What is ultimately the meaning of our life? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Shechina present. We don't have this Kabbonis. Yes, there's a beautiful new city of Yerushalayim. The old city is also beautiful, and it's building and constructing, and things going up, and there's people there, and there's Torah, and there's all kinds of things. But we have to remind ourselves that it is Chorev. It is Bezuya. It's Shomei. There's a marshal. There's a marshal from Dubna Magid to explain this, that Chaim Avadia Yosef brings in a tshuva to address this question, as he asked this question. The tshuva, he says, I'll tell you a marshal, Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid is a marshal of two chaverim, friends from youth. One leaves the shtetl, goes off to make his name in the world. The other one stays behind. And after many years, the friend returns to the community, and he visits his chaver who stayed behind the shtetl. And his friend in the shtetl is basically impoverished, lives in a small hovel. His kids are running around outside barefoot. He is a successful business person. And he comes to town, and he goes to his friend's house, and he's surprised or upset. He sees that they're living so poorly, and didn't bring any significant gifts to give to his friend. He had some potatoes with him. So he gave some potatoes to the kids of his friend. And they're jumping up and down, and they are so happy. They're just rejoicing on those potatoes. And it hits him. If they are so besimcha on these potatoes, it shows you really how bad off they really are. Says Chaim Avadia, we have the Kesel Maravi. We have the Kesel Maravi. It is such a simcha. A zah simcha. After years when Yidden could not come to the Kesel Maravi under Jordanian rule, and then comes the war in 67, and now we have access to the Kesel Maravi, a zah simcha. And they make it a yontif. That we're back in Yerushalayim, and we could come and down by the Kesel. It's all people simcha. And he says it is a simcha. But it's a tragedy. That's our simcha. That's what makes us happy. We don't have the harbayas. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We have access to a wall outside the harbayas. And it's such a simcha. And it is a simcha. Yidden have suffered so much since the Churban. It's a gavaldik simcha to have the Kesel Maravi. It really is. It's a big simcha. But how tragic that that's our simcha. That's the little children being overjoyed on some potatoes. We have the Kesel Maravi. It's wonderful. It's not the Harbayis. Not the Beis HaMikdash. Klai Yisrael has suffered so much, we take joy in that. And it's taka, something we should be simcha about. At the same time, it drives home the tragedy that this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way it should be. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, Ulam of Chista were going on the road, and they came across a ruin of the house of Rav Chanan bar Chanoi. So Rav Chista pauses and he sighs, and Ulah says, why are you sighing? Sighing is terrible. It's shofar chatzi guf shel adam. It's harmful to your guf. Rav Yochanan says, kol guf shel adam. So he says, how can I not sigh? I can't. Heichel lo esnach. This house, this ruin, used to have 60 bakers by day and 60 bakers by night, and whoever needed to come and to get bread. Rav Chanan bar Chanoi would sit by his table with his money in his purse to give out tzedakah in case someone came in and would get embarrassed and not want to take. He'd have the money in his hand right away to give him before he'd be embarrassed and not want to take. He had doors on all four sides of his house that people could come in from any direction. Anyone who came in hungry would go out satisfied. During times of famine, he would leave outside wheat and barley, people who'd be embarrassed to take in regular years would come and take. So much tzedakah, so much chesed going on in his house. And now this house, Nafal Batela, the house is ruined. It's a heap, a mound of it's fell down. Lo esnach, I shouldn't moan, I shouldn't sigh. So he said to him, "Miyom shachor beis hamigdash, from the time of the Churban, there's a gezeirah on the batim shel tzaddikim sheyechavu, a gezeirah decree that the homes of the tzaddikim will be destroyed as well, because the pasuk in Yishayahu Navi. And also, Kadosh Baruch Hu lechzir liyishuv, and the Baruch Hashem will bring it back to its settled state, brings a pasuk. So too, the house of the tzaddikim will be rebuilt. The same way the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, so too the homes of the tzaddikim will be rebuilt. Chazi Lomi Yasef died. He still wasn't comforted by this. So Ula says to him, "Dayo le'eved sheyehe kerabo. It's enough that the servant is like his master." Rashi says, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. It's the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Bereshim's home is destroyed, if Beis HaKadosh Baruch Hu is destroyed, so you can't expect more from the house of the Tzaddikim of Hashem's Avodim. When we think about Tisha B'Av, we usually think about our suffering, our nisyonis, our trials, and how the coming of Mashiach and the Bnei Bayis will take care of all those things. I think the Gemara is telling us, and the Chacham in Tisha B'Av wants us to understand that we have to look at Tisha a little differently. The Ribbono Shel Olam home was destroyed. The Ribbono Shel Olam Kavayochol was left homeless. The Shechina left. The Shechina is in Golos. Golos goes to Shechina. And we have to realize that it's a Chil Hashem, essentially, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not apparent and not noticed and not recognized, and that the Har Bayis doesn't have a Beis HaMikdash there, and Avodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If your Avodah is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if your Avodah is to be close to Hashem Yisbarach, so then you think about Hashem Yisbarach. And then it bothers us. The Ribbono Shel Olam's house is destroyed. The Ribbono Shel Olam was left kavayochol homeless. When our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, "What have you done for me lately? I did my davening, I did my learning, I sent my kids to Shiva, so I expect a little more." So it comes Tisha B'Av, we think about, you know, I'm having service, the Chomer Tzoros should come to an end. We have to refocus. The Chachamim is at Tisha B'Av to remind us that when we're in Golos, things are not the way they're supposed to be. The Tefillah of Nachem is appropriate. The Ribbono Shel Olam's bias is Chorev. And we have to remind ourselves that the focus of our avodah is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina Begalusa and what we can do to bring Nechama to Klal Yisrael through Nechama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochol. We should be zoche to see the day that Tisha B'Av becomes a moed to be as called Tzedek B'mher V'yameinu. Okay. Oh, yeah.